more fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast. Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Well, a very Merry Christmas to one and all. Thank you for joining us on Outdoor Journal Radio, the podcast. He is Peter Bowman. Easy. Somebody's going to come on the show and embarrass you in a moment. Our usual crew, Vova, Nick, and Dean behind
Christmas,
the scenes.
You filthy animal.
That's right.
That's what we are, buddy. Don't you forget it.
And joining us in a few moments is a very special, special guest. And he used to come on the radio show when we were doing live radio on this, with this very product. And, he joins us, here very shortly. He's coming from a long, been on a long journey is all I can tell you.
Okay.
All right.
I think so.
Before we get on to that, first of all, what do you think of these outfits? I think you and I should keep these and go out bar hopping later.
Well, I think it's about the third or fourth year, so I know we're keeping them. I just don't know we're bar hopping in them yet.
Okay. All right. Before we get on with the show, I want to remind folks that no, these are not available, although this shirt is available on the shop, Fishing Canada store, shop.fishingcanada.com, along with a multitude of other wonderful clothing and items in general there. If you haven't been there so far, you need to go. Check it all out. Sales are on and off. There's free shipping on items over $100 or total.
New item in stock and a very Christmassy look to our advertisement, too.
Wow.
You know, very wintry, cool. Christmassy. Very, cool. Very nice, boys.
Listener feedback. Listener feedback. This one comes from Jim Lem.
Jim Lem.
Jim Lem, 2075. It's in response to episode 97 of this very podcast.
Wow, that just happened.
That was on YouTube.
Yeah, we just did that. That's not very long ago.
No, might have been last week, as a matter of fact. Whoa. The week before.
Quick. Yeah. I like that. Quick response.
And I'll let you read it.
Okay, from Jim Lem, 2075, via YouTube. On the topic of paid parking, because we did a whole podcast on paid parking on 97 and how we're getting ripped off. The Niagara Parkway started charging for parking along the parkway and the five launch ramps that's used to be free. They posted yesterday, December 13th, they will be spending $19 million of this money redeveloping the Fort Erie Marina property.
Wow.
That's awesome. Increasing the number of docks and adding a restaurant and better access to for public use. When they started charging, they promised to improve these properties, so I myself do not mind paying in this case, and that's exactly what we were saying. If this, you know,
if the money's,
if the money's going
back
to the proper, but I'll tell you what, buddy,
that's a lot of money.
You and I need to be getting into the parking business. No, we need to buy some land. 19 mil, and it's gonna, and it looks like it's just about. I don't know how long it's been going for, but whoo,
that's
a lot of revenue. Wow, but good for them.
But you know what? If they're doing that, obviously, once the improvements have been made, everybody that's paying into it will be able to enjoy them and take advantage of them. So I think there is probably a limit to that concept and that thinking, but let's put it this way. At least it is going to the right places. But when they increase the parking and launching pricing to a point where it's ridiculous, and don't tell you why.
Exactly. All they have to do is tell you why.
Then, yeah, it's
and
it's,
will
it's,
they do the old Aurelia COVID thing when that they'll leave the parking paying up there after this is all the $19 million put into it, and they'll still keep pulling in revenue? You never know; they might keep doing that too. So, hopefully, they would just say, "Okay, that's good. Now everything is fixed up. We'll go back to free parking up there because you won't need it because you can go down to the marina." So that'd be nice. Good. That's good. If it's going back into the,
at least,
the property.
Yeah, at least they're being told.
I think it's awesome.
On the podcast network highlight, the DOALO, Diaries of a Lodge Owner, episode 23.
We're giving him a lot of airtime, aren't
it
we?
It seems to be. Is there a deal going on between you and
No, it goes back and forth. Everyone gets theirs.
They all shows up some in the long
run. Stevie didn't give you a bottle of whiskey for Christmas extra or anything like that?
No comment.
On episode 23, with our good friend Steve Nedzwicki, Lodge Owning Essentials. And he talks about various things that you must do as a lodge owner. One of them is one that we've participated with him on several occasions at the old lodge, and that is jam nights.
That was unique. That was fun. to be honest. As soon as you walk into Chaudière Lodge, when Steve was there at least, I don't know if it's still the same way, he had three guitars up on the wall right there, and they looked like they were just decorations like we have up here. Those were all, grab them up and play them. Stevie said, do you play? And what he'd do is he'd get everybody together. Okay, well, you got to come get together on Tuesday night or tomorrow night or whatever, and we're going to have a jam night. And she was a jam night.
It was enjoyable. It was great for us to participate in those. But can you imagine as just a regular person going to the lodge, say, for the first time, and having a wonderful day out in the water and having a great meal in the dining room and meeting some friends, et cetera. And now it's later in the evening and the fire's crackling outside, and all of a sudden the guitars come out and people start jamming and singing. And what a great experience that would be, because I don't think
we've ever seen it at another lodge, have we? We've seen somebody maybe have a guitar a little bit, maybe one person playing it.
I do remember one time we were at...
Lake Athabasca.
Athabasca.
Remember that? They came up with the guy singing the opera. Sang the Star Spangled. What did he sing? God Bless America or something?
First of all, he did God Bless America, but then he sang the Tom Jones song, Delilah.
Right.
Oh, my God. So it turns out this guy was I don't recall his name, but this was years ago. But he was a small little man, an older gentleman, and he was sitting by himself. We were sitting around the campfire, and there's a couple of guitars going and people talking and stuff. And all of a sudden, we hear this huge voice belt out this song, Delilah. And it was coming from him. And I'm telling you, this guy was so impressive.
Didn't he not sing it at an NHL game?
He sings the anthem at the Baltimore Orioles. Camden Yards.
He was the guy
who sang the anthem. We just met him in the middle of nowhere at this place.
At a fishing lodge.
But the voice in the middle of the night in northwestern Canada, in the middle of nowhere, was haunting is the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, he was so good.
Right?
So different. Yeah.
Anyways, we had a great time. Yeah. But those things are important when you go to lodges. You know, far too often, I think people think that they shouldn't be socializing, and quite the opposite. I think a lodge that offers you an opportunity to socialize with the other guests there, I think those are some of the best lodges. As opposed to everybody sticks to their cabin and you know.
And jam night there would be sometimes indoors and sometimes outdoors. There's a big area on the big granite rocks there, the five or six Adirondack chairs. And then everybody sat around there and the picnic tables. And we just sat with guitars out there, lit a fire and just gave her.
It's fantastic.
It was fun. Maybe a beer or two maybe involved there.
It might have been. The odd one. I didn't see any personally, but yes. No. Anyways, that's a whole bunch of that is available on episode 23. Lodge Owning Essentials of Diaries of a Lodge Owner podcast as we speak. If you haven't already checked it out, go listen to it. It's fantastic. They have a whole bunch. Steve's got a whole bunch of things there about going to your first trip, going to a lodge, et cetera. In the news.
This is a biggie in our industry for you and I, for sure.
Well, I think so.
It's something we heard rumor of, but we didn't know what we just got confirmation.
Confirmation. After, I think, 19 years or 20 years in the business, Fishbowl Thinking Show will be closing its doors on Global Television Network, at least. Host Charlie Ray, we've run into him on a few occasions at special events and stuff. Nice individual.
Nice guy, yeah.
Does a great job of doing the show, has for a number of years, but I guess... He's not that old.
Well, he's not as old as us, that's for sure.
Well, who is? Dirt.
True. Anika and I are pretty close.
Yeah.
The Countess and I are pretty close. She's in that running.
You're old. But anyways, so we wish him the best of luck. I understand, did we not try and contact him?
I did try to reach out. He wasn't that interested in coming on. But
he didn't want to come on the show?
No.
Oh.
We wanted to have him on to announce it because he didn't make much of an announcement.
No, I mean, we had Bob Azumi on when he retired.
We did, yeah.
That's right.
So I thought, anyways, okay, well, hey, Charlie.
Tough luck, Charlie.
That's tough luck, the way Charlie. It goes. Best of luck in your new endeavor, whatever that may be. You're too young to retire, so obviously you're going to have to take a job somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder what. Yeah, that's weird. How you'd where would you go? Like, did he have a trade before? Who knows? Right? Nobody knows anything about Charlie. He's like a ghost almost.
An enigma.
Right? An enigma. Yeah. That's what it is. We didn't know him beforehand. We don't know him after. So there you go.
What do you think of that now? I mean, we are the last man standing in that whole, the outdoor block, which started on Global, I think the block itself started about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And, and it got to a point where we had six or seven programs all starting, ranging from 6 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yeah,
right,
there
till
was
11.
Quite a run there for a while, wasn't there?
All kinds.
Yeah.
And one by one,
the block,
they've been dropping off.
Yeah.
And
we're
here
the
we
last
are.
Block.
I don't know what to think of it.
We're the last Lego piece.
I don't know what to think of it.
In the set, buddy. So I don't know if have you heard that Mariko Azumi show is done now too then? Okay.
Yes,
that's so it's gone too.
No longer on Global.
Wow.
On Global.
Right, so, on Global. Yeah. Right. So
on Global Television Network, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. will be the Fishing Canada show that will be surrounded by infomercials. Apparently,
yeah,
all of the time slots were purchased by infomercials. So we may be, between a Dr. Hose, a special little
foot machine,
there, and I don't know what else. There's all kinds of infomercials. So
well, this could be, but it might be good for us if there was fans that were on the on the edge of the fence for us. Maybe I like them now, but they like Charlie. Well, now they don't. The only thing they got is us. So
yeah,
maybe
no choice.
They got no choice.
Say so we win by default.
We win by
high five, man.
High five. Yeah, nice. Thank you, Charlie. You're a nice guy.
Anyways,
you never know. It's gonna be weird. I mean, and then what happens if and when the Fishing Canada show? If it, well, we're not gonna even say that. But what would happen then? Global would have zero fishing shows on their outdoor block.
That would just be weird.
Yeah,
innocent, but it's a sign of the times. I think YouTube is
of course
is taking its fair share of that.
Mm-hmm. And oh yeah,
we will continue to do what we do for as long as we can. How's that?
Yeah.
For assurances.
Get these young guys involved a little more, you know what I mean, to keep the ball rolling too. Why not, right?
All right, so what we're going to do now, we're going to do, the rest of the show is going to be basically Q&A.
I like Q&A.
You asked and we will answer. But to be the master of ceremonies for the Q&A and asking the questions of us, we thought we would bring in a very, very, very old and dear friend of the show's. He is none other than Mr. Claus himself. Santa, come on in.
Oh, my God.
How are you, Santa? Come on. There you go, Santa.
Hi, Santa.
Hello, Mr.
How are you, buddy?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
You're looking good buddy.
Good.
You look younger. Last year, you looked older. You're looking good.
I had some me
stuff.
Care.
Okay, nice. Good man. Good man, Santa.
All right, put on your headset there, Santa.
Yeah, will it fit over all that gear,
well,
Santa?
Oh, we're going to try.
Got that Ted Nugent hair going on there.
I don't have all these fancy gizmos in the North Pole.
No? No? Okay, Santa. Well, as Santa gets, Saint Nick. There's jolly old Saint Nick.
There you go.
There you go. Look at you. Look at that guy. Hey, that goes on your ears, not on your eyes and the back of your head.
Bulba, maybe we can get you to give Santa a hand here. How's that?
There he goes.
You need to
I think he's got
camera.
I think he's got it.
You got it? Beautiful.
Can you hear us, Nick?
Santa can see now.
Nick. There you go.
Saint Nick.
Bubba wasn't jumping at the opportunity.
Bubba is still not jumping right now. Bubba doesn't listen to you.
Bubba's been a very naughty boy this year.
Bubba's not getting... is he going to get any good presents, Santa, or is he a little cold?
Not even getting cold.
No? I got some dog poop in my backyard you can put in a stocking if you want.
Well...
Yeah?
We'll talk about that after.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
Very good.
All right, Santa, start us away, buddy.
Okay, this comes from Hayden Walters in Manitoba.
Oh, it's going to be cold there right now.
Ooh, baby.
He wants to know, do wild fish and game ever make it to your table for Christmas dinner?
Wow.
Wow.
That's a great question.
Hayden. What?
I can tell you game for sure. I think pretty much every Christmas I try and have something involving game, whether it's wild boar or bison. I have a special one for this year. I can't quite divulge it at this point, but we will be talking about it after Christmas, I guarantee you.
Okay.
It's going to be... It's going to be quite the
better than the that treat. Triage you did the other last time.
Well, that had wild boar jowl in it.
No, sure. I meant the three bird triage.
Turkey and the chicken
deboned and
deboned.
It
and deboned. Yeah,
it's better.
Oh
than
no,
that,
this is not as that. That was like a major event.
Okay.
So no. This is just a little
I'm coming
something
to your house for Christmas, buddy. Because
you're always welcome.
We always have turkey, and I love turkey, but.
That's Thanksgiving.
It's turkey at Christmas too. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's I like turkey, but maybe wild turkey. If we could have wild turkey
Time. Have you ever had wild turkey?
Yeah, I had it once. It was really good. Huh? Really put it in a deep fryer and oh my God.
Santa, have you had wild turkey?
I don't know.
Oh, you
I've eaten a lot of things in the North Pole.
True, that's true.
I don't really. Mrs. Claus deals with all that stuff, and the elves go and get the food for her.
Sometimes it's better not to know, right?
I don't think I want to know.
Have you ever cut up a reindeer steak, Santa?
Ooh.
Santa won't elaborate much further.
Santa got hungry one time.
The 30s were a very rough time, even in the North Pole.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Atta boy, Santa. So no for me and yes for Ange in Hayden's question. Is
so
wild
no,
game or
no
fish?
No wild fish or nothing?
Nothing. All right, we are so down the tunnel vision.
Wow.
And I mean, it's a family thing. It's been a family thing, and it still is a family thing. So I let them
do their thing.
Do their thing, that's and cool. I just help with whatever I can. And I carve the turkey every year, and eat it.
There you go.
Damn, there's it. Nothing perfect wrong with that, no. Mr. Bowen.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you, Santa.
Okay. Lawrence Benandi from Ontario wants to know, what species is use the scent? Whoa, Santa can't read today.
I don't, no,
Santa's missing his glasses at the moment.
Oh, I see. I thought maybe Santa... You know, participated in a little bit of a high test on the way in.
No.
That's after the show, right, Santa?
All
right.
That's when we get back to the North Pole.
Okay, right.
So Lawrence wants to know, what species is the use of scent most important and which would really benefit the most when it isn't really used?
Where?
Whoa.
Okay.
And which would benefit the most where
it isn't really used?
So if it's not used sort of typically, maybe you could up it up. I think that's what Lawrence is saying.
I don't know, Lawrence.
What species is
the use of scent most
important?
The use, not the use. Like I said, Santa's having trouble today.
And okay, which would benefit
the most when it isn't really used?
That's
you know, like maybe musky fishing,
it's
for instance. Musky,
fish,
how much, you know, not too many guys use scent in musky fishing, I don't think.
Which fish,
you know,
would
saying
you benefit from using scent, and which ones does it not really matter?
Okay, all right. Well,
yeah, we can give our info.
Let's say this. That's the part I'm confusing with the question. Does he want to know which fish use scent, meaning their own ability to smell?
Is the
no
use of, is the
should
use
you
of
be
scent
using scent no for some fish, and should you not really use it for other fish?
So one like an odd species of fish, but I've done it before and Andrew's done it before, is catfish.
Yeah.
Where the scent issue is huge.
Right.
You need to put a chicken liver down there, nice,
that's right,
fresh or even stinkier.
Stinkier the better.
Chicken liver down there, and they will pick that scent up from, you know, I don't know, miles away, but hundreds of feet away, they can pick that scent up. So that's a fish species for sure. That
sturgeon would be another one.
Sturgeon would be another one
that
for sure.
That is very similar to channel cats or catfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that all has to do with the environment they live in. Those fish live in generally in an environment where the visibility factor is zero. And if they don't have the ability to smell their way through to finding food, then they don't eat. So they've developed an incredible scent. I think catfish might have the strongest ability to smell of just about any other freshwater game fish.
Probably. Apparently eels have a great sense of smell as well. And obviously shark and saltwater. Shark, we've heard stories about shark and, you know, I don't know how many. And Dean has something here that says as far as 500 miles is written. I've only heard like a mile or two, but if they can scent something at 500 miles, that is beyond incredible.
Like, I can't even fathom that.
It's unreal.
But what I did learn from this...
How far is Sault Ste. Marie from here? About 500 miles, would that be?
I would say.
Ish? Yes. That's a
solid 30 minutes by sleigh.
Is that what it took you?
Here it is, Sue.
That's
fun
awesome,
fact for everyone to know.
I want to get on that sleigh instead of driving the truck up there every time, man. I found, I didn't write this, this is not my stuff, but this is some negative, some neutral, and some positive scents for fish.
Mm.
Okay? So in the negative, what do you want to hear, negative, neutral, or positive first?
Oh, let's go negative. Let's get negative. That out of the way.
Human skin oil, L-serine, sweat.
L-serine, yeah.
Bad. Nicotine, bad.
Ooh, bad.
Petroleum and derivatives, gasoline, motor oil, bad. Suntan lotions, bad. Bug repellents, bad. Chemical, this is a weird one. Chemical plasticizers added to soften plastics. That one is weird because we use soft plastics, and it's Plastisol that they use to make that stuff.
Wow.
So I don't know about that one there. That's kind of weird.
I'll have to make sure the elves don't use that in this year's Christmas making.
And it's bad. Right. They might be snorting that stuff up, Santa. You know, watch those guys because they're pretty bored the rest of the year. So
you just can't trust those elves.
And then perfumed soaps are the last one in that one. In the neutral category, so the fish don't care about this, I guess. And one's surprising here. Ann's going to leave it to the end because you'll be surprised at this. Alcoholic beverages, natural vegetation, the grass and leaves, human urine is one that's quite surprising as a neutral.
No kidding.
Chlorinated water, soda pop, juices, and non-perfumed soap and biodegradable detergents. But the one that's neutral that I always thought was positive is anise, oil of anise. Anise oil.
It's positive. Like licorice. Yeah. What do you mean it's neutral?
They said they're putting it, they're saying that it isn't, they don't, fish don't care about it. Is what they're saying.
Wow.
This website.
That's weird.
It's been a scent forever, hasn't it?
It's been a scent forever, for sure.
Yeah.
I used to use it right out of the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. We did it in the St. Lawrence River. We carried bottles of it with us.
That's under weird.
And it never stopped the fish, but maybe it didn't matter to
them. Maybe we would have caught more.
We would have won the derby if we hadn't used that shit.
Exactly.
Okay, and the positives. Fish extracts, including herring oil, bait fish guts, fish slime. They have an asterisk there. I didn't look it up, but there's got to be some slimes that are probably better than others. Natural bait, like worms, stuff, blah, blah, blah. Milk and some dairy products, such as cheese, is a positive.
Stinky cheese.
And the last one, human saliva.
So you should just dip it in your mouth and
cast it out.
That's interesting.
That's really interesting. I remember one
thing you and I did a while ago, and then we stopped for some reason because it was just too much damn work is why we stopped. But do you remember...
Are we licking our worms, making them even better?
Do you remember Coleman had the... The machine that would allow you to... It was a marinating deal.
Oh,
But it worked on that vacuum.
A vacuum sealer.
But then you had a marinating dish.
Right.
That you could put product in. In their case, you put meat in there.
Stick the hose to it or whatever.
And then you stick the hose to it, and it would draw all of the juices into the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, if that's the case.
We did that at Hasty Lake.
We did it at Hasty Lake. Yeah. If that's the case, if we just get a whole bunch of minnows and or worms and or crayfish and or anything that bass will eat and grind them up and put it in the marinator and then put our baits in the marinator and turn it on and get it to suck all those juices into the baits, it ought to really work good. And we did it.
Man, was that a messy project,
It was
by the
an
way.
Awful pro. It was terrible.
Especially him. He's OCD and anything cleanliness and all that. And all his guts was everywhere.
But the worst part was that we did it on probably the best bass lake on the planet. Where you could, it didn't matter. You could pour some of those things
that are negative. Stuff there. Some gasoline along with some sweat and a bit of nicotine after your cigarette there.
It don't matter because the fish are going to bite anyway. So we said, wow. This works really good.
Yeah, no kidding. And we stopped real quick. It was done. So the one thing that there's a couple things that fish will go quickly on this that fish use to their advantage in smelling. The one for feeding is they're called amino acids. Everybody's probably heard of amino acids. They're the elements that make up proteins, and that's what they use. If they're feeding on crayfish constantly, they learn the amino acids in crayfish, and they'll stay on that. I can smell that, and they're kind of keen to that. The other thing fish smell, and this is an interesting one, it's pheromones, and it's only pheromones amongst each other. So largemouth can only smell their largemouth pheromones. Muskies only smell the muskies' pheromones. They don't smell the other fish's pheromones, from what I've been reading on anyways, or learned throughout my life. And one of the big things with that is if a bass got hit by a muskie and he had an open wound or an injury, the other bass sent that.
Open wound,
they say, uh-oh, something's wrong.
It's time to leave.
Take cover, get out of here. Yeah. That's pretty cool, eh?
And think about that, because you and I have debated about this issue. Well, more so I did with Reno all those years I was fishing tournaments with him, debating the issue of if we're practicing catch and release today and we're on a school of fish and we start releasing fish into that school, are we sending a signal out to that school of fish?
Right.
Hey, get the hell out of here because I just got caught. And luckily, I don't know what happened, but they put me back here, but we need to run.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say you hook that fish. He's got a little bleeding coming out of his mouth. Nothing damaging to the fish, but those other fish can smell that.
Exactly. So really, releasing fish on top of fish is probably not a good idea.
Correct.
We do that all the time.
We do it all the time. All the time when you think about it.
Quick thing, Sander, before I know you want to move on. You got appointments or
something?
I got
to go get the toys ready.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. Before you go there, this is the part I found most interesting about this write-up Dean provided us in terms of scent, and that is about salmon that return to their paternal streams where they were originally born.
Imprinted, right?
We've been calling it imprinting and imprinting, but it's actually a scent. And so from thousands of miles, these fish, obviously, for whatever reason, start heading towards that stream or that trickle of water that they were born in originally because they can smell it.
It's crazy.
How does that work?
How do it work, right?
Dean, how does that work?
I don't know. I read that and I put it in there because I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
But how do they know that? Like, how does anyone know that?
How do the people know that?
Yeah,
how does people study that?
I was trying
that?
To look into it and I couldn't really find it.
How do they prove that, right? The biologists and stuff like that.
Well, Sandy, you should know the answer to that question. You know everything, right?
I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't decided to study salmon all that much.
Oh, what are you studying?
Do you eat salmon? Santa,
milk and cookies are the main diet.
Okay.
By the way,
sushi's pretty good, Santa.
Maybe you might time to think to change that diet.
You know, here's something with the way my belly is. Mr. Viola, you're getting there.
Yeah, thank you.
Working on
I want to be you when I grow up. I've told you that from the beginning
of
time.
You got that fabulous hat and the...
Exactly.
How do you Italians say it? A fugazi beard. So...
One more thing Dean had written down here is that a salmon, they call it almost a supernatural sense of smell. They can detect when a man sticks his hand, or human, we'll say human, sticks their hand in the water 100 feet upstream. So 100 feet up, put your hand in the water, take it out, and a salmon, once it gets down there, the salmon can smell
that. I think that's supposed to be down. Oh, if the human
is
upstream.
And the scent goes downstream 100 feet. That's pretty good, too. Think about that. So, I mean, you're releasing other salmon. Of course, the pheromones from that salmon. It's going downstream. You might as well not be anything. You better keep going up, work your way upstream, because you ain't going to get anything downstream. So, that's interesting.
There goes Joe for his little Christmas break.
Have a Merry Christmas, Joe.
Yeah, off he goes.
You got some good gifts lined up for Joe, Santa?
Joe was an okay kind of guy this year.
Oh, good. Are you good?
Had a very good amount of Christmas breaks.
Nice, because last year he wasn't a good boy, that's for sure.
No, he learned.
He learned good.
There's an adventure just outside these walls.
It's something you'll hate to leave and can't wait to get back to.
It's a place where memories are made and bonds are forged.
For some, it's hitting the trails. For others, it's a weekend at the lake. It's a place full of campfires and quality time.
This year, take some time to reconnect with friends, family, and nature. No matter what adventures await you, Coleman has the gear you need. Visit ColemanCanada.ca to gear up today.
The outside is calling.
Answer the call.
How did a small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nitzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. Learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along, trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Good. All right, let's go to number three, Santa.
Stephen Doherty wants to know, what's your favorite
go-to? Where's Stephen from?
He's from Alberta.
Thank you, Santa. Oh, sorry.
He wants to know what your favorite go-to Christmas movie is.
Wow.
I don't have a Christmas movie, but I always have loved Rudolph, the show, just Rudolph with the clay animation. It's just, it's the best of all best. I still watch it to this day. It's so good. I just love it. I love it.
I'll let him know that you're a fan when I get back.
Thank you. Cornelius, too. I like Cornelius.
Oh, you like Cornelius. Oh,
yeah. He was cool.
The Klondike gold mine guy there.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Viola?
Well, that one would certainly be at the top of my list, but I am a fan of Chevy, and the Christmas
vacation
is like it's...
That's
it's,
good. That's it's very out good, of this for world. Sure.
And it's the type of movie that you can go back... Every year, just as funny. Yeah. And even though you know what's coming up, you know, every line is just one of those funny.
That's a good choice.
How about you, Santa?
Well, I'm a star in most of these movies, so hard to pick from them.
It's very biased, right? You can't be unbiased.
Although, there's nothing wrong with How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You like that? Wow, that's like a nightmare for you, isn't it?
It's, I watch it to prepare every year in case he tries something.
Good thinking. Defensive role, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Although my elves have told me that sometimes you're called the Grinch.
Well, I've been called.
And I would like to know why that is.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Santa, the rest of the crew will have a meeting with you afterwards when Mr. Viola goes home.
Just meet me out tonight afterwards.
Okay, buddy. We'll have a nice cold beer by your sleigh.
Dean, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Probably It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Old one. But I'd say that's probably it.
Okay.
Is there a least favorite for anybody? Because I have one.
What's that?
I don't like Elf.
I wasn't.
Will Ferrell is just, and that one, I like Will at times, and sometimes I don't, but that Elf movie, I just didn't.
How about Scrooge?
I like Scrooge. Yeah. That was a good movie. The original. That was a good one, too.
So. Cool.
Buddy is going to be sad hearing that you don't really like him.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Well, he's a very jolly little elf. He's not that little.
He's not little. He's a big, jolly, big elf, that's for sure.
We don't make fun of Buddy's size anymore.
No, I know that one, Santa. Thank you for spreading the word on that. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Next.
Now, Michael Hall from Ontario.
Oh, boy, it's a long one.
Michael wants to know, do fish that prey on other fish taste different than those who eat plants or insects? In land-based species, a wolf's meat would be considered stringy and gross compared to the meat of a cow. Or is fish meat just softer all around so there's not that much difference?
I know this is kind of spooky, but I was up most of the night. I couldn't sleep thinking about things. And honestly, this has nothing to do with this question, but I'm right now going through a deja vu moment because I asked myself this very question through the night. And I'm serious. I'm not kidding you now. I know it's weird. But my question was to myself, why is it that, with the odd exception, vulva being one of them, why is it that we, as humans, we eat animals that are vegetarians? We do not, as a rule, eat animals that are carnivores. I tried to go through my mind.
In the mammal world, not in the fish world.
Except underwater. The premise that I was going through was, except underwater, it's the exact opposite. So I was asking myself, all right, there's got to be some exceptions to the rules. And I was going through all of the meats that we eat And with the odd exception, and it wouldn't be considered a carnivore, it would be more of a, what do they call Santa?
Omnivore,
thank you, would be maybe a bear, which the odd time will eat meat, very not, I won't say the odd time, when the opportunity arises, but as a preference, it would be a vegetarian,
berries
and it just, and I could not think of a single meat that we eat that would be considered a carnivore.
I've gone to Florida now once a year most of my life, and I can say they eat a lot of gator down there.
They do eat a lot of gator tail. There'd be one.
Good thinking. It's a very big carnivore.
Good thinking.
I don't like alligators.
I never thought of that.
And mountain lion, I don't know if... No. Have you guys had mountain lion?
No.
It's really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. I think they're pure carnivores, I think.
Yeah,
mountain lion would be for sure.
And same with gators.
Yeah.
So there's two... Okay. But both of those are very rare, and you don't. The majority of people are not even exposed to meats from those animals, right? The meat that we eat predominantly are vegetarians, except underwater, and it's totally reversed. Underwater, we eat carnivores, but we don't generally like to eat plant eaters as a rule.
Right?
Isn't that weird? I swear, I thought about this all night last night.
That's
weird.
You're clairvoyant. You are clairvoyant.
I don't know. And then I see this written here.
Kresgen. You're Kresgen.
I'm telling you.
And you weren't preparing for the podcast ahead of time, looking at the thing I sent you?
No.
Dean, have you met Ange?
Exactly. Who's he talking about?
Hey, what are you talking about, buddy? He is the winger of all wingers.
Joe's coming
back. Joe. Hey, Joe. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, buddy. You and all those little elves in there with you.
Hey.
Oh,
leave
right.
Joe and his elves.
Joe and elves. There's a whole story there. Let's not even go there. But yeah, so anyway, so this is an interesting question.
And now here's another one then into the fish world for Michael and us. Mm-hmm. There is a difference to me. There is a difference between farm-fed salmon and wild salmon and hatchery-raised trout and wild trout. And I know our fish, the wild fish, do eat more, but they still eat bugs and everything else, but they're more eating fish too, right? They eat like salmon.
They're just carnivores.
We'll call them carnivores. Alewives like crazy, and they taste better than this perfect food that they give these.
And a lot of the food that they're given is derivatives of plants.
Plants, exactly.
That's the deal, right? So, and you can taste the difference.
You can taste the difference.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, for sure.
Without question.
So,
anyways, it's a fascinating subject. I'm tired of it a little bit because I've been at it all night, but I don't know what else we can add to this, but it is a great observation that we do definitely.
Yeah. I bet you Michael's question has opened up a lot of eyes just listening right now. They're all
What fish do we eat that would be considered plant eaters?
Oh, I don't think we have carp. If you ever ate carp, would be the one.
But once
even
again,
they're mollusks
once
and
again,
crayfish.
It's a small sector of
whitefish. They eat insects mostly. Yeah, Dean, is that?
Yeah, they eat a lot of insects. Yeah.
Whitefish is pretty.
Well, it'd
good
be
eating,
hard to eat a fish that doesn't eat meat because how would you catch them?
Yeah,
you got to catch them on something they're
catch
chasing
that
to eat.
Yeah, unless you're a fly fisherman like you.
Yeah.
But even that, it's kind of, is a bug make it carnivorous? It's not meat.
No, like a turkey's not a carnivore, but they eat a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
It's a good one.
Very interesting to note. Now, question number 5 is Michael Hanna from Michigan.
Michigan, nice. I love hearing about
Michael America. Wants to know, what do you guys think about drowning your Christmas trees in a lake after the holiday season is over?
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble on this one.
Michael, don't do it. This is not very good. I don't like seeing, and, you know, I have to go put your name in the naughty list, and don't put your trees in
Michael's
the lake.
Michael's saying he's seen it done. He didn't say he's done it.
I'm just warning Michael to not do it.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know for a fact, but I do believe it is illegal and certainly in some parts, some jurisdictions.
I've tried to look into it, and from what I could tell, it is illegal.
It is.
Back in the day, I don't know if it's changed now, but what we're talking about, in case people don't realize this, is taking your old Christmas trees or any kind of brush, they call it brush piles, and taking some anchors and dropping them down in the lake somewhere for fish habitat. And then you can go back to that, you mark it with your GPS, and you go back to that and you fish that area. But you're doing that, you know, Is it legal or is it illegal? I think it's illegal in most places. I think it is anyways. From what I've...
I don't see why, though.
I don't either.
I mean, it's organic.
It's helping.
It's helping the fish
sure
because you're
is.
Building a good, solid habitat for them, cover for them.
You're putting that tree in the middle of maybe off of a weed bed where there's otherwise would never have fish, but now they have a stopping point where all the little bugs are eating the algae. And
I will admit to having done that on several occasions.
Get the hell out of here!
On several occasions.
You got them marked on a GPS?
The problem was
it illegal for me to fish your brush piles because you put them in there?
The problem was that it was pre-GPS days.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So what we had to do is triangulate.
Oh, yeah. I know all about that
one. With a little scope, triangulate where the spot was. And good luck
finding
that brush. I probably sank about, I'm going to say, 10 or 15 brushes in my time. And we did it not through the ice, which is the smart thing to do if you were going to do it, if it was legal. In other words, place them exactly where you want them on the ice and let nature do its business when it melts and they'll fall through. No, we did it in the open water period, pre-season, and then had to try and figure out where they were based on landmarks that we saw on shore and triangulate. Oh, my God, it was a nightmare.
How was the old OCD, clean boat OCD working after those days? You must have went insane. I could just see you going, oh, my God. Reno, what? There's a needle, a pine cone. Dean, your question for Dean. Maybe he knows this.
Yes.
Leaving a Christmas tree on the ice, is that illegal? On top of the ice?
You need a permit from the MNR. I looked it up. So in Michigan, where this question was from, you need a permit regardless. In Ontario, I think only the MNR can do it. So they'll take a donation. I think on Simcoe, when I was there last year, I saw a bunch out there, and they were all managed by the MNR.
Did you mark them for us?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yep, I have them.
Yeah, I don't see why it would be an issue at all. I really don't.
I guess if people were doing it everywhere, would you run into an issue? Like every year there's hundreds of trees going in?
It'd be better habitat for fish.
Yeah.
Right, because that tree is going to attract all kinds of food, starting with zooplankton and vertebrates and everything are going to attract to that tree, which means that you're going to have all kinds of minnows and perch and stuff around it, which means you got predators. It's just
what if you drop the tree on some fishies?
They're pretty slimy. They can get out of there.
Was on the tree that then gets into the water.
Oh.
Oh, you forgot like some of your ornaments. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those lights. Drop those lights down there,
you got
Santa.
Something else in the water.
Okay.
Good for the fish.
We're responsible. We could clean that stuff off, Santa. We wouldn't do that.
I see you when you're sleeping, and I know when you're awake, Mr. Bowman. You are not very responsible.
I'm not a responsible guy. Santa, why are you so smart, Santa? Damn, I can't pull anything. I know for a fact, but it has to be legal in certain states because they all plant brush piles off of their docks and they openly talk about it all the time. You know that.
Yeah.
And the tournament guys, we found brush pile here and there and there. And these guys, they drop it off their docks for crappie fishing.
Right.
They drop it straight down up the end of the dock and all the crappie come in like that. And it sounds like it's legal in certain states, but Hey, that's a good question to look into. Santa, you need to get us some info on that.
I'll get the elves looking on that.
Thank you.
As soon as
after Christmas, when they got a little bit of time on their hands, right?
Thank you, Michael. Michael Hanna from Michigan.
Thanks for listening too, Michael. Appreciate that.
We'll check it out.
And now we have a Peter Westhouse from Ontario.
Peter.
He wants to know, what is the most important quality you look for in a fishing lodge or outboat?
There you go.
I can answer that one real quick.
Answer's got
porcelain.
Two.
I look for porcelain. Most important criteria, porcelain. That's it. If it's got porcelain, I'm interested. I start looking further into it. If it's got no porcelain, unfortunately, I've gotten to a point in my life where I'm not really interested. There's too many good options with porcelain that are available to me. I'm sorry if there's a lodge owner out there listening that does not have porcelain. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean your operation isn't worthy or viable. I just don't. Go to it, Santa.
But what of, it's not porcelain, but it's a little cooler than porcelain. It's got a little flame in it, a little incinerator toilet.
Well, see, Santa, that to me is porcelain because the structure itself
it's pretty much
is porcelain. He's talking about, Santa's talking about the new craze now called it's called the Cinderella. I just found out.
That's
called
the brand.
The brand is Cinderella.
I have three of them in the workshop for the elves.
There you go, right? Because they must really...
And all the pipes freeze up there.
Right.
So it's a little easier now.
Santa, when you're flying 5,000 yards above this building right now and you got to take a poop, what happens?
I fly over top of your house, Mr. Bowman.
Is that what I get? I thought that was dog shit in my backyard. It's yours. Santa poops. Wow. Okay, Santa. When you feel that shotgun blast coming back at you, you're going to feel something. I'm going to put a good lead on you.
So aside from porcelain, which is important, I'm not joking. It's important to me, and it might be important to a lot of people out there. But, you know, if not, then so be it. I'm not a big outhouse guy anymore. I've done it for way too many over the 40-year career. And so I would like to have something a little more civilized. But aside from that, you know, I'm more into most of these lakes from a fishability standpoint are all good. If it's an outpost, especially, chances are real good. Doesn't get a lot of fishing pressure. So we do a bit of research and homework on it in terms of the fishery itself. But for the most part, that kind of looks after itself. So then the only thing left are creature comforts. I mentioned one, but you know, I want to say that this is nothing wrong against a real rustic operation, a place where you go into and it is truly, truly a rustic experience. That's all well and good if we're not shooting a fishing show. If we're just in there on our own, that works. But when we have to work the number of hours we put in every day, some of those creature comforts are important, man. I mean, aside from a washroom, running water, as simple as
that's a huge thing,
like running water.
That's huge. That's absolutely huge.
Even if it's lake water, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm not talking
right in from the lake. Absolutely.
I'm not talking about drinking water. I'm talking about running water so that you can just do the bare essentials.
Yeah, we can heat it up on the stove. We'll take a pot of that and heat it up on the stove. But
you know, so you can clean some of the food off of your plates and wash stuff. I mean, yeah, that's really important to me.
That's a big one for sure.
I have one as well. And I only picked this up after working here. But if you go on the website and there's no pictures of the fish alive.
Oh,
you're probably in trouble.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And that's one we actually come across a lot.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep
stringers,
an eye on.
And what Dean's talking about, fish on stringers. You know when a fish is alive and released alive, that walleye's got his fin sticking up and they're on the water. They're not, you know, they're nowhere near.
Not in the cabin.
That's not behind you right there. You're holding that in front of that. Hey, everybody, look at me. You know what I mean? So
that's Lodge
88 right there, buddy.
I love Lodge 88.
Yeah, there's a good porcelain there, isn't there?
Oh my God! They take porcelain to a whole new. Anyway, so
I agree. I agree. The running water is huge. It's nice to have comfortable bedish. Like the mattress has got to be at least a little bit comfortable.
You don't like a slab of plywood with a piece of foam on it?
No, I like nice foam. If it's a nice piece of foam, I'll take that. As long as I can, you know, it's comfortable. It's not like it's going to scrunch down to the plywood and you're going to feel like you're on the plywood. So that kind of stuff. And the way I judge it, if I was going to go fishing with my buds. Me and Mikey Burris and my boys are going to go up. The better the fishing is, the less I care about whatever. If it's going to be phenomenal, if it's going to be Earth-style fishing, that little outpost cabin he has in there, if it's going to be like that kind of fishing, I'm going to eat and sleep in the cabin, and I'm going to fish all day and just catch them all day long.
Look at this. So, he has Earth right there. How did he have that?
I had it lined up. I know ahead of time what you guys are going to say.
Oh, wow, you're as good as Santa.
I've taught Dean a couple things, a couple tricks for you two.
This, by the way, this operation takes the outpost cabin concept to an entirely different level. So yes, this is perfect, but it's certainly not representative of an outpost camp.
Well, he's got the little outpost camp there.
You got a plane parked right there.
They're the only outpost camp where you have a gymnasium where you had an actual. They built a set of barbells and dumbbells, and oh my God, it was good. So, but yeah, the better the fishing, the more I can put up with. I would deal with, but. But I'd like that ice in between. You know, you can get some good fishing with some work and then have the amenities, the running water. The,
running
you know,
water. Someplace.
That's a all. Huge one for sure.
That's all. Doesn't that even have to be one. Hot, although hot and cold is nice.
It's better but, for
but
sure.
You can heat it up if you want to, yeah. if you need warm water. But running water, I don't understand how you can run an operation in today's world without running water at the camp.
That one Steve and I went up to McCocobatten. The camp was... You know, it was a typical camp, outpost camp. You know, not certainly not pristine or whatever. But what he had there, he had Starlink to get. So if we wanted the internet or whatever to talk, I was texting Lisa. I think we could even talk on the phone there. And he had running water. You could have a shower in there. You could just go in and have a nice hot shower.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's pretty much all we needed. And after that, a barbecue, we had a stove and we had all that stuff. But the running water was so huge to be able to take a shower in that. Cause that's you get kind of rank after about four or five days in there without showering and all that stuff.
You mentioned something. I know everybody's going to poo-poo me on this one, but I don't rank connectivity that high up on the list.
No, to be honest, I don't either.
I do think that, some form of communication for emergencies.
Yeah, you need a Garmin or somehow you need something.
Yeah, something for emergency. But I'm not that big on having to have the connectivity.
Yeah, I get you.
Well, you know, I have to make a lot of those new connectivity things at the Elves these days.
You probably deal a lot with that, don't you, Santa?
It's becoming more and more of a necessity.
Can you communicate with Mrs. Claus when you're 5,000 miles up pooping on my house?
She knows.
Oh boy, she's good, isn't she?
Mrs. Claus scares me on a good day.
Okay. We interrupt this program to bring you the much anticipated bonus code for the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. This week's code is Rudolph. That's all in caps. Merry Christmas, everybody. R-U-D-O-L-P-H. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries towards all of our current giveaways. For those of you who aren't entered yet, what are you waiting for? Head over to fishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode. Click contests and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. And now, back to the episode. Good job.
And the final question.
Yes.
From your fans.
Yes.
Is from Alan Renaud. Alan Renaud.
You should never get a name wrong, Sammy. You should know Santa, everybody's name, okay?
I can see them on the list, but I don't read them all the time. He's from Quebec, and he wants to know, what is the most memorable Christmas gift either of you have ever received?
Wow.
I know the answer to these.
Do you?
I know everything.
But you don't know. How do you know our favorites of all favorites?
Oh, Santa knows.
And I'd like to know what mine is then.
I'd like you to say it first. I'll tell you if you're right or not.
He'll tell you whether you're right.
Can we get a Gymkhana on Santa, please? Is there just a way...
I got the Christmas board here.
Oh, sorry.
A bunch of bullshit.
There you go, Santa. I just called you out, Santa. I don't know if I'm believing in you anymore.
Oh, boy. What a great question that is from Alan Renaud from Quebec. Holy smokes.
You know what? I'll say, Santa, that time that you brought me, and it was the worst Christmas and best Christmas ever all in one. So you brought me a guitar amplifier. An electric guitar.
I did.
Yes. And the electric guitar, I opened it up and I was, oh my God, this is the best Christmas ever. And the guitar, a break in it or a chip in it or something happened. I don't know if it was in the shipping or whatever. So since Santa couldn't come back to help me out,
right.
He sent my mom and dad to help me out. And my mom and dad took that guitar back. And we went to a guitar store and they said, sorry, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we'll get you another one. And we got another one. And that... I still have that guitar to this day. I don't play it, but I have it right now. That was my first. I cranked out more Black Sabbath on that guitar, Santa. And I thank you. I thank you for that.
You want to know what my favorite Black Sabbath song is?
Yes, Santa.
Snowblind.
What is it? Snowblind. Very good. Very good, Santa. Very fitting.
I know this is going to be weird, but.
Okay, here we go.
No, I can't think of one particular one. I love everything I've ever received, whether big, small, or indifferent. I think it's just, it's the whole spirit of Christmas more than anything else for me. And I really, honestly, I cannot pick one. Sorry, Santa, you've done a great job at delivering, but I'm telling you, they're all great. There's not a bad one among them.
I'm not going to waste another elf on you this year. It's a waste. Unappreciated.
No, very much. That's what I just said. Very much appreciated, because every one of them, regardless of what it was, has been great to me, because it's all in the spirit of Christmas.
Do you have a memory, Santa, though, of a gift that you brought to little Angelo that you thought he might have really, really freaked out?
There's a gift that little Angelo got a few years ago.
Yes.
And as odd as it sounded, it was a measuring tape.
Well, it was a measuring tape.
Little mini Santa here has not stopped talking about how great that tape has been.
That
for the
tape
years
was fantastic.
Later.
It was a great gift. Thank you, Santa. It was absolutely wonderful.
But, I know what but, you like.
But that little tape meant as much to me as a vacation to Jamaica, which I got one year.
That's very Buddhist of you.
They're all wonderful. It's just a great experience.
Very Buddhist of you, Mr.
There you go. There you go.
And gentlemen, that does it for me on the questions today.
You conclude.
Wow. That Santa.
I conclude these questions.
Thank you for coming by, Santa.
I have one.
Oh.
Yes. Where did you get those fabulous hats you're wearing?
Well, there's a company that kind of rips off Santa. He sells all kinds of Santa paraphernalia, but we don't want to throw him under the bus.
I'll find out soon enough.
Okay. We'll give you some coordinates after the show, buddy. Okay.
Okay.
Thank
Mr.
you, Santa.
No problem, boys. We have a merry, merry, merry
same
Christmas.
Same to you. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know how busy you are this time of year. Thank you for joining us coming on to the podcast.
I'll be here next year, I'm sure.
Oh, perfect.
And
thank you.
Say hello to Mrs. Claus and all the elves.
Have a good one, gentlemen.
Take care.
No more pooping in my house, Santa. Poop on the next door neighbors, please.
Santa Claus. Woo! Wow. Who else brings you Santa Claus?
The one and only.
On a podcast like
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Think about that.
Think about it, Ange.
I can't stop thinking about it. Christmas clothing and Santa Claus. Think about it.
Doesn't get any better.
Damn.
I want to thank all of you for making this another wonderful year. I certainly hope on behalf of the entire crew that this is the very best Christmas that you'll ever have. And continued good wishes for the new year ahead, for sure.
Yes.
As we are all optimistic on a wonderful new year.
Yes.
Want to remind everybody about fishingcanada.com, the portal, the gateway to your next fishing adventure. Make sure you get there often. Contests galore, especially through the Christmas season. We're giving away all kinds of stuff, including, by the way, a wonderful trip. Is going to be up on the, if it's not already there, will be available for the entire month of January for you to win on a place that Peter and I are going to be shooting at later on in the year. So Nordic Point Lodge, and it's going to be there courtesy of the good people from Diaries of a Lodge Owner,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. So Will's put up another trip? Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's just one of many that you'll be able to.
Can our lovely listeners, and I'm not 100% sure of this one, can they purchase gift certificates off of our store yet? Is that a...
I don't think so yet. I don't think we have made that. Yeah, you're right. That might be a pretty good idea to do.
You know what I mean? They get what they want when they want, sort of thing.
I will check into that.
Okay.
Be a great, I mean, forget Christmas gift, obviously.
Anytime.
But for birthdays, for Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever, that's a wonderful idea.
Thank you, sir.
Put that in the suggestion box.
Okay, I'll put that. Don't you worry, that's going in. Because I get a commission on that. So, of course you do.
Oh, Santa! You lost your
hat. Yeah.
I lost my hat.
That's okay. You lost your hat, buddy.
All right. Time to go. That's a sign. It's time to go. I want to thank everybody for making a wonderful Christmas for us on behalf of the entire team. Boba, Nick, St. Nick and Nick both, and Dean Taylor, our producer, Peter Bowman. I'm Angelo Viola. Thanks for joining us, folks, and have a very Merry Christmas season.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Take care.